Well, after Mark's announcements, I have 3 minutes to bring you the Word of God this morning. So thank you, Mark. Appreciate that. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. Quick shout out to our church staff and staff wives real quick. Sarah Santee, our nursery mom, who's been a mom to a lot of our kids. She is firm but fair, and we love her. Layla Gilbert, she's not here today because she is graduating with a master's degree this weekend, and she's an amazing mom as well. Christy Burns, wife of Chris Burns, our worship leader, super mom, works like 27,000 days in a row without stopping and raises her kids. Let's give it up for her. Linda Crossman deserves, I don't know, a Nobel Peace Prize. So, you know, just give her, yeah, give it up. I don't get how she does it. Wow. Living with Mark. Good for you. Allison Zender is a church staff and a staff wife. She does so much around here, and we are thankful for her and everything that she does to support Zach and support our kids. Let's give it up for her. And my beautiful wife, Amanda, mother to our awesome son, Asher. Thank you for making me a dad. I celebrate and praise you today for that. You are wonderful. I love you so much. Surrounded by amazing moms. And real quick, a shout out to my mom out there on the live stream this morning, Carolyn Bauman. Thank you for everything you did to make me the man I am today. Ooh, don't cry. I love you, and the reason I am the way I am, the good stuff at least, is in large part due to you. So thank you, Mom. I love you. And to all the moms out there, thank you so much for the sacrifices that you make and have made every day for the sake of your family. It doesn't go unnoticed, and you are a blessing. I want to start today by talking about a specific young mother who sacrificed something for her child. Last month, on April 13th, a 20-year-old mother of one named Lauren Heath was out for a walk with her one-year-old daughter named Millie. And they were comfortably walking through the neighborhood. Millie was safe in her baby carriage, and they were enjoying a nice, cool spring day. But unfortunately and sadly, the day quickly turned tragic. Millie was in her baby carriage, and Lauren was walking along, and Lauren was struck by a semi-truck and was killed instantly. Miraculously, though, little baby Millie survived without almost even a scratch. And the reason for that is because her mom, Lauren, a moment before she was hit by the truck, pushed the baby carriage out of the way so that her baby would live, giving her life for her little girl. At her funeral last week, one of Lauren's uncles said this: "You gave the ultimate sacrifice, saving beautiful Millie." This is a true story, and it serves as a striking reminder of the absolutely selfless love of a mother and a love willing to sacrifice everything for her children. Now, when it comes to our lives, we don't always think of sacrifice that way. It's not always life-giving. It's not always that costly. For some of us, it means ordering a sandwich or a pizza instead of going out for steak. For others, it might mean sticking with the iPhone 4 so that your wife can get the new iPhone 6 this time. Not much of a sacrifice. But we throw that word around and kind of use it without really understanding necessarily the true cost of sacrifice. And so I wanted to start today by talking about a couple of God's plans for sacrifice. God's first plan was set up before Jesus Christ came to this earth as a man. God's people, the Hebrew people, followed a system of animal sacrifice. And the second plan for sacrifice was God sending his own son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross, both for our salvation and to grant us direct access to God the Father and provide access to one another through community. Now, we don't really talk about the Old Testament sacrifice system too much. We don't get into all of that grisly, gruesome details. Bottom line, animals were killed. Their blood was shed. It wasn't pretty. It was a lot different than church looks today, and I'm thankful for that. But under that system, animals had to die and give their blood to remove people's guilt. And people didn't have personal access to God the way we do today. I want to read from the Message translation. I want to read Hebrews 9, 1 through 11, which explains this system in a little more detail. And the book of Hebrews was written to Christians who had just converted from Judaism, so they would have understood this, but just take a listen to what it was like to be part of that system thousands of years ago. Hebrews says, "The first plan contained directions for worship and a specially designed place of worship. There was a large outer tent set up. Inside that were the lampstand, the table, the bread of the presence. This was called the holy place. The curtain was then stretched, and behind it a smaller inside tent was set up. And this was called the Holy of Holies, or the Most Holy Place. In it were placed gold incense, altar, the gold-covered Ark of the Covenant, containing a gold urn of manna, Aaron's rod that budded, the covenant tablets, and the angel wing shadowed mercy seat. And after all this was set up, the priests went about their duties in the larger tent. Only the high priest entered the smaller inside tent, the Holy of Holies, or Most Holy Place, and only once a year, offering a blood sacrifice for his own sins and for the sins of all the people. This was the Holy Spirit's way of showing with a visible parable that as long as the large tent stands, people can't just walk in on God. Under this system, people, the gifts and sacrifices can't really get to the heart of the matter, can't satisfy the conscience of people, but are limited to matters of ritual and behavior. It's essentially a temporary arrangement until a complete overhaul could be made. So one day a year, one man was allowed access to God. And as this verse, I love the way it says, a complete overhaul was needed. And we know that that complete overhaul was made. The old way of sacrificing animals year after year, day after day, was thrown out. And God ushered in a new covenant, something between us and him. And of course, this new covenant is the gospel. It's the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that changes everything for us. We have access to God the Father. Amen. Let's open up our scripture passage for today. We're going to be looking at Hebrews 10, beginning in verse 19. If you're using a Bible in the seat underneath you, it's on page 1211. While you're turning to Hebrews 10, 19 through 29, I want to let you know that you're welcome to take one of our Bibles home with you if you don't have one. That's our gift to you. Please take it. Please use it. Let's go ahead and turn there. We're going to look at Hebrews 10, verses 19 through 25. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So this section of scripture is amazing because it shows us that God flipped the script on his former system, his former way of doing things. We're not sacrificing bulls and goats up on an altar anymore. The blood of Jesus changed all of that for us. And if you believe that Jesus died and rose again, you're going to heaven forever. That is the gospel. That is truth. Something else happened the moment that Jesus died. In the middle of Jerusalem, in the very middle of the temple, there was a loud ripping sound that pierced through the silence. The curtain that had separated all people from that most holy place, from that holy of holies, was torn in two from top to bottom. And with that, the old covenant was declared void. No longer would access to the presence of God be limited to the high priest on one day, once a year. We now all have direct access to God our Father. And so now we have confidence. We can stand before God. It's humbling and scary at times. And it's not anything that we did to deserve it, but it's because of the sacrifice that Christ made for us that we can stand before our Lord. And this sacrifice brings us into community with God, but it also brings us into closer community with one another as we watch our faith form and things happen and relationships grow. I have to credit Mark with this line, but it was very good when he was helping me prepare. Gospel revelation will deliver us from isolation. It rhymes. It's pretty. Yeah, that guy actually has a good thought every once in a while. Let me read it again. Gospel revelation will deliver us from isolation. You're not alone. You're not alone. You have a God that loves you, and you have a community that loves you. So we don't respond to God's grace now by kicking back, sitting down, and saying, you know what? Eternity's covered. I'm good. I don't have to worry about a thing anymore. No, that's not all. You know what? We want to proclaim the gospel of Christ. We want others to know about this promise. We want everyone in this community to hear the good news of Jesus. We don't want to stop until we've changed this city and this county and this country and this world for Jesus Christ. In response to God's grace, we love one another by worshiping God together. We respond to God's love by loving and serving others. And that's what L teams are about. And that's why this is L Team Sunday, and that's why this church is behind the L Team ministry, to get behind those things, to worship God, to love, to serve one another. I want to return to some of the key phrases in the text today, and we're going to make a big bowl of what I like to call Hebrews salad. If you've heard of a Caesar salad, I'm going to make a little Hebrews salad, complete with three servings of lettuce. And now this isn't, you know, your traditional lettuce, romaine, or iceberg. I'm talking about the words "let us," of course. And these are instructions from God that he asked us to do together. That's why he said, "let us." So let's go back to verse 22. It says, "Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings." That's the center of the gospel. That's what Good Friday and Easter are all about. God has done astonishing, costly things to draw us near to him. He sent his own son to suffer and die so that we would draw near to him. It's all so that we would draw near to him. It's all for our joy and God's glory. And the crazy thing is, God doesn't need us. I mean, he's content within the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He's good. He's God. He's got it taken care of. He did it because he loves us, and he desires us to draw near to him. And that's amazing news. I love how the verse says, "let us draw near to God." It doesn't say, "hey, you go draw near to God, get in your room, close the door, and draw near to God." It's, "let us draw near to God." I love how it says that because ultimately, we need other people to help us draw near to God. If I were left on my own throughout life to draw near to God without the help of parents, pastors, youth leaders, my aunts and uncles, my siblings, my friends, my wife, and even my 19-month-old son, I don't know where I'd be in my walk with God. I don't think I'd be drawing near to God the way I am because of those people. And honestly, I don't think I'd be that close to God at all if I had to live my life on my own. And so God tells us in his word, "let us draw near." Imagine, you know, if we were trying to draw near to God this morning without Chris and the worship band up here, and instead it was me, Mark, and Zach trying to lead us in worship. Scary thought. You don't want that. But we come together as a team, presenting our gifts and doing different things so that we can draw near together. It's about a team coming together so that we can do our best for God and draw near to him. And community with God is a natural consequence of the gospel. I love that. I love how the gospel isn't just a promise of eternal life, but it's a promise for today. And I think L teams are a great way to help people draw near to God in a supernatural way. Let's go on to verse 23, the next serving of lettuce. "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful." Now, I know some of you have kids out there that are learning to drive. I know Mark prays very hard every time his daughter Amanda gets behind the wheel, and it's a scary thought for some of you parents out there. I think back to when I was 16 and learning to drive, and I had this bad habit. Every time I would turn my head to check my blind spot, the wheel would go with it. And, you know, it just, "oh, I got to see if there's a car over there." And couple close calls, and I knew that habit needed to change fast. I couldn't keep swerving into the lane next to me just because I'm looking. I don't know why I did it, but you got to stop doing that, kids out there who are driving. Swerving is dangerous. Swerving can cost lives. And so this verse beautifully says that we should hold unswervingly to the hope we confess. But how do we do that? How do we help each other hold unswervingly to that hope? I think, once again, the answer is through our community. Now, as many of you know, Pastor Zach and I are the same age. I'm actually a little bit older than him. We went to college together. We've known each other for 15 years now. Interestingly enough, though, this is my very first job at a church. I'm only about 5 months in here at the Cross, and Zach's been doing this thing for several years now. So that begs the question, what happened, Jacob? I mean, I've wanted to be a pastor since I was in sixth grade is when I wanted to be a pastor, and all I can say is life happened. You know, I was on a path. I was following God real close. You know, Zach and I were in school together, and things were going great. And then I decided to take my own road for a while. I went into a dark time. I lost my way. I lost my desire to follow God with my heart and with my life. And we can talk more about that another time. But bottom line, I didn't have a community of accountability. I didn't have discipleship in my life. I didn't have people pouring into me, helping me draw near to God. And I don't think my eternity was ever in question. I never lost my faith in Jesus, but I missed out on a lot of today's. But you know what? The good news is that God didn't give up on me. Even when I tried to give up on him, he stuck with me. He sent me a beautiful wife, someone who supports me and honors this calling into ministry. And he brought me here to the cross to serve with you and praise our God together. And I'm here today. And I'm happy to be here today. Thanks. Thank you, guys. And so in the same way, our L teams are here for you today. I'm here, Zach's here, our staff is here, and our community of teams is here for you today. So please take some time. We've got the table set up. Our captains are going to get back out there between services and would love to talk to you about what's going on out there. We've got several of our awesome teams represented out there. And please go home and check the website. We've got hard copy lists in the back of all the teams that are happening this summer. Take some time, look through it, join some teams. And that's why we're celebrating L Team Sunday today. We want to provide this opportunity for you today. I quickly want to draw your attention back to the end of verse 23. I grew up listening to Christian punk rock music in the 90s. My brother and I went up to a lot of little church shows and went in the mosh pits and got beat up a lot. And one of my favorite bands was called MXPX. I never really knew what it stood for. They had a lot of weird band names out there. And most of their lyrics were actually about girls. You know, they're a Christian band, but they're talking about girls all the time. And they had a song called Chick Magnet. And every once in a while, this Christian band would just have this, you know, send out this little theological gem, this lyric that would just go, oh, yeah, they're a little bit different than those other non-Christian bands. And one that always stood out to me was this lyric: "But just know this, that God is faithful, even if you don't have faith yourself." God's faithful to us is never ending. It can't stop. That can't change. So let that bring you hope that refuses to swerve off course. Let's move on to verses 24 and 25, our final serving of lettuce in this Hebrew salad. "Let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." Pastor and author Chuck Swindoll says about these verses, it's not just a suggestion, it's not just an off-the-cuff casual idea like, oh, by the way, it'd be good if, you know, while you're holding fast to faith, that you might toss in a little encouragement as well. No, this is for the whole family of God. This is an instruction for all of us to follow. And the crazy and awesome thing is that access to God that was granted by Jesus Christ leads to this community. Community with him and community with others. Some of you might be familiar with bumper sticker theology. There's some really decent, terrible, good, bad, ugly bumper stickers out there that try to present a good theological message in 10 words or less. How many of you have seen, you know, "Jesus is my co-pilot"? Have you guys seen that one? Or "In case of rapture, this car will be unmanned"? Yeah, cool, thanks. I'm good now. Appreciate it. Well, you know, the theology part of these bumper stickers is often lacking, and there's a popular one that says, "Christians aren't perfect, just forgiven." Just forgiven? Really? Is that it? Is that really all there is to being a Christian? Just forgiven? I don't think so. I think there's more to it. I think we've got a lot more on our plate today than being just forgiven. Unfortunately, that sticker teaches, and a lot of people believe, that being just forgiven and knowing your eternity is secure is enough. And they don't really do much else that's different than non-Christians. And statistically, we see that Christians and non-Christians aren't really that different a lot of times when it comes to unethical behaviors, crime, family failures, and addictions. And so I'm calling us to stop living as just forgiven. Stop living as just forgiven, but start living for today. And what's the answer for that? If I believe that Jesus Christ is my, you know, my hope for eternity, and I can check that off, that's amazing. That's the good news of the gospel. But how do I live a godly life today? And the answer's right there in verses 24 and 25. Spur up one another to love and good deeds and encourage one another. The answer, once again, is community. And it starts today. Briefly, I want to just tell you a little bit about our L teams. Our mission statement at the cross is to bring Jesus to everyone by serving the needs of our community and growing the faith of all who believe. And we believe that L teams make this happen. We have three approaches to L teams: live, love, and learn. We also have our link teams, which serve on Sunday, and we're very grateful for them. But today I want to focus on those first three. And that's why they're called L teams, live, love, and learn, in case you didn't know. We want to live life as a gift and calling from God, number one. We want to receive and give the love of God. And third, we want to learn and share the word of God. And we believe that a true disciple of Jesus Christ is all three of these things working together. And so I encourage you, don't just sign up for one thing this month and, you know, next month I'm going to jump over to a learn team and then I'll get sick of that and I'm going to head back to my live team because that's a lot more fun. And then maybe I'll serve on a love team after that. No, you know, jump in. Come all in. Live, love, and learn with us. Right now I want to ask Miss Lori Bandy to come up to the stage. She's going to share with us briefly. Yeah, give it up for Lori. She is one of my favorite people in the whole world, and her story is an incredible one, and I want her to share a little bit of her heart on how L Teams has touched her.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Is this on?
Should be. Yeah, just keep talking.
First of all, I want to say happy Mother's Day to everybody. You're all awesome moms. And I also want to thank Jacob because I'm up here with Jacob and not Mark Crossman. I love you, Mark, but it's a tough road to hoe it, Mark. I first wanted to tell you that when Jacob asked me to do this, I said, really? Again? I feel like I'm always being asked to do something, and I'm always saying, really? And it's really, really God wants me to do this. It was out of my comfort zone again. And how many times have I felt like doing something out of my comfort zone? It was just crazy since I've started coming to the cross. That comfort zone thing is a really crazy thing, and you all of you, I think, have been there. So I started coming to the cross back in January of 2012, and because of this church and who these people are, as believers, I was instantly welcomed to this awesome family, as many of you hopefully are when you walk in our doors. Pastor Zach didn't wait too long at all to come to me and ask me to participate in a stepping out of my comfort zone thing. And if I remember correctly, he asked me if I'd like to be a chatter with the Lake Cares food pantry. And I asked, what the heck is a chatter? And he said that it's people that often come to the pantry, the clients that come in, are not only in need of food and other things, but they also are in need of love and support, and sometimes they just want to talk to somebody. So he asked me to be a chatter, and that chatter included talking to them, listening to them, and praying with them. And that was something that I totally was uncomfortable with. Well, it was another thing that, really, you want me to do this and talk to these people and chat with them and pray with them out loud? But I did, and I loved it. And some of these clients were just such awesome, awesome people. And I got to feel more love than maybe any of the love that I was able to give. But I was able to share Jesus with them, and that was just an awesome opportunity for me to start stepping out. So it didn't really take too long for some pretty special people at the cross to get me involved in this awesome hand-in-hand ministry, which is an L team. And this, as you can see, I mean, many of you have been to our gala the other night, and that just right there proves with the powerhouse and these guys and joining this L team has given me so much hope and so much love to give. And I encourage all of you to get involved in an L team such as this or many others. I've often heard people say, I wish there was an L team for this or for that or for their own likes. And what I don't think they get and understand is when they were wishing something, that there was something like that, I think it's God saying, you know, maybe it's up to you to do it. Maybe it's up to you to listen to God and you make that L team happen or you join an L team like that. He wants you to meet the people at the church. The reason I know so many of you people at the church is because I'm in a lot of L teams. And I did start a few and I did pass on a few and I did get a few passed on to me and it's all good. It's all okay. But I encourage all of you to try and sign up with something because that's the only way, besides stalking on Facebook, that's the only way to be able to get to know people and get to be with people and get to be with other believers. It's so neat to be with a group of believers because it makes our life so much easier to be able to go out and share the word with people that aren't the believers. So I just wanted to say that. You know, there's so many different things you can do. You can go to the book club or a Bible study or exercise class, or you can eat out, or you can kayak, or you can camp, or you can, you know, cook for the powerhouse. There's so many things that we can do at this church. And with a little bit of love and a little bit of encouragement among ourselves, we can do it. I go on. I could go on and on. You know I can talk. Now, I'm not as bad as Mark, though, I don't think. But I do think it boils down to trusting God. And with that, I'll just wanted to say that I would like to share my favorite scripture with you. And this has carried me through so many situations. And that's just Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lori. So what's your excuse? Why haven't you joined an L team yet? Why aren't you taking advantage of this opportunity to find community within the people of God? Now, I know, you're here every Sunday, or almost every Sunday. You pray, you read your Bible sometimes, you even give to the church and other organizations, and you actually listen to Z Radio. Oh, you are a holy person. Impressive checklist. But is it enough? Is it enough? And I'm not standing up here today demanding that you join an L team. I'm here today presenting you with an opportunity to take another step in the life that God wants you to lead. Discipleship and growth happen best in the context of relationships, and L teams provide that opportunity to build relationships as we form pockets of community within our life. My wife Amanda is a much better writer than me. And she wrote a blog last week as she was preparing for Real Women of Jesus. Very good stuff. Some of you read it. I want to read a quick excerpt, a quick piece of it. There we go. A piece of her heart that I'd like to share. I hope that's okay. I didn't even ask you. But you put it out in the internet, so. This is about our time before we got here to the cross. It says, we tried church after church, but left every Sunday with the feeling that something was missing. When Jacob came home from work in November 2014 and told me that he had gotten a call from his buddy from college, Pastor Zach, offering him a job interview here at the Cross, if I remember correctly, my first answer was, what? Followed by, there's no way we're moving. Mind you, our son Asher was only 2 months old at this point. But after a moment to calm down, I figured Jacob might as well and go interview, and then we can see where this thing leads. Well, long story short, Jacob got the job as the L team pastor, and we found ourselves about to move across the country with a one-year-old and away from both our families, the tightest community we had. But we found more at the Cross. We found community, and community is something that God longs for us to find. So, you know, going back to that idea of sacrifice, we understand that Jesus made the ultimate sacrifice for us. He died and he rose again, and that's the gospel truth. That means that heaven is ours eternally, and no one can snatch that from our hand. But it also means that community with God and community with one another is available today. And so I believe the consequences of the gospel are really twofold, salvation and community. And so to conclude today, I'd like to show you a brief video to encourage you one last time to please consider joining an L team today. Take advantage of this opportunity for community. And remember, we are created for more than just salvation. We're created for community, and that starts today. Lord Jesus, I thank and praise you for this day. I thank you for the gift of our mothers, the love that they have shown us, the sacrifices they've made. God, we thank and praise you for the ultimate sacrifice that you paid on the cross. I pray that that truth would touch our hearts today as we know that heaven is eternally secured for us because of that, but that it also provides an amazing opportunity for today, an opportunity to access you, Jesus, to access you, our Father, and to grow in a community of believers together, an amazing thing that you've granted us for this moment. So I pray that you would put it on people's hearts to seek that community, to consider an L team, to consider stepping out, as Lori said, stretching a little bit, finding that you have so much more in this life, and that begins with community. We thank you for your love and for your amazing grace, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen.